And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. And this is Felicia following up on the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show, one of just my favorite shows. These guys are so great to come in after. They just take care of me like crazy. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And this is Kauai Soapbox, and it is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Pau Hana Pizza, Akamai Backyard, Copper Man. And, you know, we're going to hear about Got a Request. Oops. Actually, you know what? That's not right. That was the last show that that's for. So, what is the... It's made possible in partnership with Kauai Canvas, Al Pastor, and the Homegrown Festival. So, let's hear from them.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas. Stretch your imagination.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos, and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Grow Our Own Teachers presents Amy Hanayali'i Gilliam in concert Sunday, December 7th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6 p.m. and show starts at 7. This is a fundraiser for Grow Our Own Teachers Kauai, providing financial assistance to local public school teacher candidates. That's Amy Hanayali'i Gilliam in concert Sunday, December 7th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. General and reserve seating tickets available at outlets island-wide. More information and tickets online at growkauaiteachers.org.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So this is Felicia, and I've got two guests in the studio with me. Taki-san, pull your microphone up near yourself, and then let's say hi. Let me hear if I've got you in there.
Aloha.
Aloha. And Janae?
Aloha.
So happy birthday, Janae Marie Taylor.
Many thanks.
And so we're going to have a fun show today, and this is one where I already have a caller on. So let's... Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Maybe you should tell me what your guests are there for. I don't want to
Okay, so what we're talking about, we have a whole number of things that we're going to speak about today, but if we had a title, we're going to probably call it Malama Aina, as like taking care of the land. And since you asked that up, Taki-san Toma is a friend of mine from Oahu that comes over and makes poi with us. And he's come back from 51 years in Washington, D.C. with the Environmental Protection Agency much of that time. So he'll be kind of giving us a perspective of a local grown boy here that is kind of returned from time away with the federal government. And then I also have Janae Marie Taylor, who is another person who is very busy doing community development, community-supported things. But she's worked in the county for a number of years. So we've got local government, federal government, looking at what's going on. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different projects that are available here. Does that fit into what you were wanting to speak on?
I'll just say, be quick. The Kalo Festival was wonderful out there at Waipaw this weekend. They do a great job up there. And then down in Lima, Peru, they're having the global warming summit about climate. And it's just the most ridiculous thing because some of the biggest participants are Shell Oil and Chevron, which are the biggest contributors. And one of the things that I heard, even though I've been aware of it for a while, that there's been actually hundreds of environmentalists, mostly a lot of them native South American Indians, that have been murdered because they try to protect the rainforest down there. And just in September in Peru, four men who were famous activists got murdered by loggers that they encroached from the Brazilian side of the border into the Amazon, because Peru is filled to the brim with the Amazon forest. And these noble, courageous Indians have to stand up to loggers that have weapons and guns and stuff. And it's just pitiful. It's just so sad, you know, that we destroy the very environment that sustains our life. And it seems like there's no end to it, except in small little areas. But it just saddened me, you know, on the Democracy Now.
I listened to it too.
Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. They interviewed the wives of these brave Indians that are so brave to stand up to the big logging companies, which are basically, you know, big corporations that have nothing in their hearts except greed and profit, and they don't care about anything other than that. And I'll just leave you be, you know, because it's just so sad that not we're, but some people they're just letting the value of the earth just slip into just this like monotone, you know, profit over life.
And without being able to truly vet it, I was seeing some articles on the internet, so I don't know for sure, but it was speculated that one of those trees is perhaps the oldest living tree on the planet that was cut down. It's that much wanton disregard. And
well, they have a, excuse me for interrupting, they were talking about someplace, I don't know where it was, in Bolivia or someplace like that, or Ecuador or something, that little area, because it was so close to the equator, it survived, you know, the great ice ages, and they are some of the oldest forests, the oldest forest on the planet. And obviously these forests create oxygen that we breathe, and then it's the whole deal with the runoff and water, because when they interview these native tribal people that used to live in these beautiful, ecologically wonderful places with unpolluted rivers that they could raise their families and enjoy life, now everything is totally screwed over. And I just feel so sorry for them, because they seem to be, they're so humble and pious and kind of gentle and brave and defiant, you know, under the big, and they're staring down the big guns, and I admire them so much. Anyways, I'll have a great interview, and I'll see you later.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much. Well, actually, that was really a great start for our show. Not that it was, it's really tragic what's happened, but definitely what's going on in Peru and the climate summit is really on point for what we're talking about here. I like to try and, I joke and say, keep my happiness to bummer ratio to be about 3-1. Keep people upbeat. I mean, there is a lot of good things going on, but that issue underscores these big corporate entities, global corporate entities, footprint on the planet, that, you know, when we have all this economics that comes into things, that, you know, the money, when we're looking at currency, which is fabricated money by the banking system as opposed to a real exchange of sustenance economics, we end up having things that are really out of balance. Taki-san.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself a little bit and what your mana'o is, what you bring to the table.
Well, let me start that I had a very humble beginning, like most immigrant families. I was born on Old Sugar Plantation in Waipahu. I went to high school. One of the fortunate things in my life is that I worked for 2 years learning everything about the sugar industry. And it was an unusual program, a cooperative program between a Waipahu High School and the Old Sugar Company. So in that 2 years, got to do everything, including cutting cane, burning cane, bagging the sugar, operating, learning how to operate the huge boiler room, which actually looked like the boiler room of a Titanic. It was huge operations because this boiler room had to power this factory 9 months of the year, 7 days a week, 24/7. And so when I finished high school, I decided that's not where I want to spend my career. So luckily, I was fortunate enough to be the first class of Chaminade, which is later Chaminade University. Then I went to University of Hawaii, and I got a science degree, bachelor's degree in agriculture. And off I went to the unknown, which is the East Coast. And I spent 51 years there, from New York City and Baltimore to Washington, D.C.
And so you worked as an ag inspector, and then at the beginning, and then later you worked for the Environmental Protection Agency.
That's correct.
And so is there any particular takeaways that you gained from the Environmental Protection Agency? And I'm probably most honestly, I want to hear it raw first, and then I might angle that question. What was your experience in leaving the EPA or Environmental Protection Agency? You were a regulator, right, in agriculture?
That's correct. And the area that I worked for, because of previous experience, was in the EPA, there was a office called Toxic Substances. So this office was divided into two parts. One was industrial chemicals, and the other was all these chemicals that we're familiar with, which were put into our agricultural, green, huge agricultural industry in the United States and elsewhere. And this is, we're talking about pesticides, fertilizers, and the like.
And so you were a regulator of them. Were they easy to regulate?
No.
Are you aware of all the movement, the social movement that's been happening on the islands, Maui, Hawaii, Kauai, and to some degree Oahu? I know they're trying over there, but having a lot less influence.
Well, I tell you what, I consider myself in Hawaii as far as the movement, the politics, and the economics. I'm a neophyte because I've been gone for years. But I do understand a lot of the background because I was born and raised here. I was a poor kid growing up with thousands, hundreds of thousands of poor kids on a pineapple and sugar plantation. So that aspect of it I understand. But this complicated social, political, economic system that we engage in the state of Hawaii, it's too complex for me to really say much at this point, but I'm getting my feet wet full time.
Well, do you support the effort by the citizens to try and increase the regulation that happens at a local level?
Perhaps you have to expound a bit more on that.
Well, on Kauai, we have, and really Maui, Hawaii, Oahu, Molokai, there have been citizen marches, there's been ballot initiatives, all the islands have had ballot initiatives, the neighbor islands, that are trying to control it. In Kauai, they're looking at wanting to know what pesticides are being used and keeping it away from schools and hospitals. Hawaii went the furthest and did a ban because they don't have the industry there yet, and then Maui asked for a moratorium. We've had a lot of different things. We've had a federal court throw it out using preemption, saying the feds don't have preemptive ruling, but the state has preemptive ruling, that the county can't regulate for the health and safety of the counties, but that is actually in our state constitution. So Kauai has worked to do an appeal. We will see if it stays happening because we have a new council, so they might have a different viewpoint on that, but they wanted to appeal and take it to a state Supreme Court to look at, or the state appeals court, and see is that right? They wanted clarification, but for the most part, the state and the feds have been saying that counties don't have a right to do that. Do you believe that there is enough concern away from what is on the labels that you understand why people might be worried about having this stuff sprayed next to them?
Yes, I do, because I have practical application also. In fact, when I was at the University of Hawaii, I was also a pesticide operator. So I know a little bit more about pesticides.
Okay. And then, so when you've come back to Hawaii, what has been your focus?
My focus is really very broad, and the concept that I have, it was given to me from my kupunas. Even though I didn't live in Hawaii, we had a very strong, unusual Hawaiian association called the Hawaii State Society in the Washington area. So through this organization, I got to meet kupunas. Even though I wasn't in Hawaii, I got to meet all the really the super incredible people. There were musicians, kupunas, hula dancers, artisans, lecturers, all those kinds of people. So through them, I've learned a bit more about Hawaii. But my emphasis here is that my philosophy is that I'm here to help the community in whatever aspects. And my philosophy, again, is to make sure that I participate in being a good steward of the land.
So, and you're calling that Malama Aina. You work
That's
with
correct.
Kids. And okay, and we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if you could talk about the chemical-modified atmosphere that's being sprayed over us daily with jumbo jet tankers.
So you're talking about the geoengineering seemingly happening in the sky?
Yes.
Okay, and do you have your radio on? I have a big echo on you.
I do.
Can you please turn that off?
It's off.
Okay, so either one of you, Janae, happy birthday, Janae.
Thank
did
you
I say
so
that
much.
Already?
You did.
Okay, and then Taki-san, are either one of you observant of some of these trails that go behind the plains? They call them contrails, but some of them look pretty unique. They tend to spread very widely, often leaving a film on the sky. Janae is nodding her head.
Yes, I'm ready to comment. A huge majority of humankind realize if you look up in the sky that you're seeing these interesting trails. I call them chemtrails. I've done a fair amount of research. In fact, there is a petition circulating through Facebook so that you can sign asking for these aerial sprayings to be stopped over Kauai and Hawaii. So look for that floating through Facebook. It also gives people an opportunity to express their opinions. It's a very sad thing. My profession and my basic forte in life is sharing opportunity to improve the quality of breathing. So when I looked up a couple years ago, I was in the water at Aniti and looked up and saw these chemtrails. I began to learn. It made me feel very sad. And then I was seeing them at Princeville and then on the west side. And everywhere I would go, everywhere I was in the water with the chemtrails in the air. My guidance is, and I'm sitting here looking at a picture of Gandhi, and with our additional guests today, that these are poisons that are being sprayed. I'm certain of it. I believe we've got, Kauai is really in a critical phase. I believe that we have reached critical mass. The people, it seems like there's so much pressure from the corporations, as we know, and governments are being taken over and already have by these corporate entities. It seems like the people, just as in Gandhi, it's the people and the energetic that the consortium of individual human beings with a heart can co-create the mana necessary to continue to push back this darkness. So I just advocate that each and every one of us use all of our tools for health and wellness to keep supporting each other and moving forward in a positive way. Very important that we bring Kauai to a state of vitality once again, as she's destined to be a model island community for the world to respect and enjoy. Thank you, Felicia.
And in the context of that same issue is the HAARP, which is the major player of global warming.
So HAARP, that's high altitude. Do you remember what the acronym is? I can look it up.
I don't know it, but it's the harmonics is microwave frequencies of seeing the chemtrails, and it causes lightning to go up, down, sideways in all directions, and it's what is the primary tool for melting the polar ice caps where they could mine the shale oil off Alaska.
That is no longer, yes, that is no longer a conspiracy theory. All the conspiracies have been proven to be true. I understand that HAARP has recently been decommissioned. Is anyone aware of that?
It's in Oahu. It's the big white floating golf ball that floats off Kauai at times.
I see it's called High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. I looked it up on its own site.
It was the instrument that was sent to North Korea when North Korea was a threat to us from Oahu, and then North Korea turned down everything and it came back.
Okay, so and it looks like it is jointly funded by the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, and the University of Alaska, and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. So that's the official word on that. Taki-san, do you know anything about it?
If I understand, this particular module or device is huge. It sits in Pearl Harbor much of the time. It looks like a huge white sphere. Is that what you're talking about? It's on a platform?
Caller?
Hello?
Did he go? Okay, he's off the air. All right, so, but are you familiar with what chemicals are in that?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
HAARP is a device used to manipulate the ionosphere, and some might say that it's been effective in manipulating our weather.
Right, and so there's a piece of that. I know on the regular news I listen in on the weather sometimes, Guy Hagi, he just really calmly says, oh, this is military chaff, as he's looking at the satellite stuff, and he said, so it's not really a cloud right here, but this is what we're seeing, and it'll influence the weather this way. So he's able to speak to that.
So chemtrails are actually different than the HAARP experimental entity,
yeah,
which I understand Alaska was the biggest, and that there are others around the world. So if any of the callers know about the decommissioning and that story, well, what's next with that?
Okay, so why don't
you tell? Are they just going to stop?
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history, just very briefly, like what you've done with the county, where you are at, and then what, you know, just a little piece about that, and then the proactive projects that you've been involved with here that help the island, because we're going to have a bounce in here. We're going to be looking at government, then some of these things that people are concerned about, but also things that are working well.
Mm-hmm. Well, many years ago as a young woman, I was brought in as transportation coordinator for the County of Kauai, and that was a big experience for me. It helped to teach me management skills. And we brought the whole department up by using PONO practices and best practices of management and utilizing your trained and skilled staff. By respecting that, kind of the bottom of the triangle is a foundation for upgrade. And we went ahead and in a couple of years we had the entire transportation department upgraded. And this is a good example of when you work with the people, you all gain a mutual respect. And it was quite a phenomenal time in our life. With the county, morale was down. We were able to build morale by using PONO practices. And we also developed the first risk management program for the county. So after a few years, I got burned out and then moved on, but I continued to be a manager and became a very solid and strong systems analyst and administrative and operations specialist. My skills are that I can go into any department, any property, any business, and if it's failing, within 90 days, we can have solutions in place and ready to be integrated with the use of the existing staff. So that's one of my fortes in
so
using this. Uh-huh.
Which mayor appointed you?
Uncle Tony Kunimura.
Okay, so this
yes.
was a while ago.
Yes, it was. It was in the late 80s. And as a young woman, it was quite a profound experience for me, giving that opportunity. It's like I've always been tied to Kauai. So I've been here 40 years now. But in 1998, we established a foundation which became Kauai Foundation. And we did a lot of health and wellness activities and community involvement for several years. And then in 2009, our foundation connected up with Dr. Glenn Hauntz, who had directed and oversaw the agricultural program that he brought in at KCC. And from 2009 on, our foundation offered to the sustainable farming program on Kauai unrestricted funds. It was always very difficult to really keep things flowing well and pay people to do what we were all organized to do in creating the farming projects. So Kauai Foundation came in and made it a little easier. So a lot of the community projects that you're seeing on the island were once and originally funded by Kauai Foundation. So we continue to support sustainable agricultural practices to this day. There is some challenges, and but we look forward to achieving greater health and vitality for the island, and hopefully one day in the future she'll be able to completely feed herself and a good part of the islands and beyond.
And you also work with the parks, right? You do park projects?
Well, our foundation, I ran for mayor in 2006. My platform was Pono, values-driven government. And after that, I had so much energy that I went to the county parks and I said, the parks need help, I can help. And so, yes, we became participants in the Adopt-a- Park program in 2006, and today we've settled down and now we're just overseeing Poipu Beach Park down on the South Shore. But it's wonderful. The county's been very supportive in supporting those who come forward to volunteer, and we also have a consultant training program called Pride in Your Parks, so that if anyone wants to volunteer or help keep your parks in pristine condition and feel proud of doing that and have permission to do so, well, give us a call and we can help you out in that direction.
Is there a number that they can call?
Oh, sure. For Kauai Foundation, 652-2726.
Okay, and you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia. Marshall's in the studio. I have Take-san Toma and Janae Marie Taylor in here speaking with me, and we're looking at a number of different issues. I'm going to take this little segue for a moment to tell people about a number of the events. Like this weekend, this time of year, well, really any time of year, there's a whole lot going on. The first caller spoke about the Taro Festival. Takisan, you were there.
Yes.
It was really great, wasn't it?
I think it's that kind of a festival that really makes people aware of how important the Taro culture is to all of Hawaii.
And you came over for that, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So I thank you for staying a little bit longer and being on our show. You're doing a handful of things over here. It looks like that we have a caller, and we can take them on the air, and then I'm going to tell people a number of the meetings and events that are coming on. But we'll take our caller first. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia, this is Joe. Coming back to earlier about the government, the levels, there are various levels of government, county, state, and federal, that that has the say. So the state supersedes the county, right? Is that right?
Well, yeah, they're called political subdivisions, yes. So we have... between the constitutions and then the charter of the county, we have layers, and there's there's a tug of war actually between.
Between the different interests.
Yeah, there's right? Preemption is often the state or the feds will try and very often take the resources of a smaller group and apply them economically, and you know everybody's basically it becomes this big economic fight. So usually the municipalities are the most concerned with maintaining the health and well-being of their environment.
I've always thought that the health department in any state, I grew up and my first time years of life was in the Bronx. The Bronx was not dirty.
That's New York City?
New York City, 1943 to 1952. I lived in the same building. In the Bronx, the southeast side, and it is immaculately clean compared to what it's turned into. And the reason that was if there was dirt or garbage or a toilet out of order in any of the apartments or buildings, the owner was notified, of course, and sometimes the health department would be, you know, and they would be right down there. Or if there was garbage left, a slaughtered animal left, the guts left in the alley, you know, they would be right on top of that. And what is wrong with the health department in this state? Why, I mean, people are getting sick on this island, and it's documented through Rising Hawaii. It's documented through families, histories, and physicians. And why can't the health department suddenly see this and say, hey, this is our, we're going to rule on this, whatever their ruling would be. I just don't understand that. Why the health department has to sit back and wait for the various interests to play their part before they do their part.
Do you want me to answer that, or is it just a rhetorical question?
Skip off the air, dear, okay?
Okay.
And thank you so much. Wonderful program.
Thank you. So I want to speak to that a little bit because it overlaps with a show that we will be having coming up and then some calls that I've been getting personally and working online and certainly stuff that I have worked with. And my short answer would be that it is a mix of a couple of things. One is maybe not enough political will. And then the other one is funding, and part of it is the structure of government. And so a lot of times just reorganizing the government a little bit, the way they have the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Health, where there is a little bit of a tug of war over what should be happening, who has what responsibility. It's a game of hot potato. People don't want the expensive hot potato. The other thing is people to take these good grants. We were looking at a $5 million grant that was available through the Environmental Protection Agency, actually the Food and Drug Administration. I got to look, I have it in here because we were trying to see how that could be utilized, and it was available for a study. A lot of times we don't know when these come out early enough, and then you have to have an entity with the financial history to show that they can take these large grants. So the Department of Hawaii, the Department of Health or the University of Hawaii are typically the right type of entities to take a grant like that for doing the studies. But something that we need to do, and I have actually, with very little support, I'm not going to whine by name of who's unsupportive, but have been pushing for a dialogue about having our own Department of Health interfacing with our medical establishment and keeping track of this, because we have a lot of leukemia in this past year. We have a lot of ALS, which I consider Lou Gehrig's disease. I don't actually know what ALS stands for. I can never remember that. But many, many types of cancer. We have a lot of degenerative diseases. I know that one of the women who works in oncology has done a really beautiful map of the female cancers, and there are clear clusters that are involved there that are visible. So really we need to find the political will to be looking at that, putting it together, and it does take some money. Most of the type of organizations that are on a small island or small population island don't have that kind of financial capacity. We have like Surf Rider, or we have this little group or that little group. And they don't have, they're not used to having $5 million grants. So it becomes difficult, you know. So we have to figure out a way to cluster these grants together so that we can divvy out the responsibility and the costs. You look like you have something to say?
Oh, I do, because, you know, grants. We always think we need money. But, you know, create the desire and... what my question is, without any fundings involved, how can we the people get the health department excited about doing their job to the best of they can? How about utilizing best practices in the job? All they have to do is read their own job description, and we will be seeing more support for the health and vitality of this island from the health department if they're just held accountable for doing the job. And the political will, well, most of us know how the political will is manipulated. Therefore, it takes strong people to come from the heart and not be afraid and know that by doing good, you can do well.
Takasan, I know that an accusation that is often leveraged to people that are somewhat activists is that they are overstating that. Can you tell me, when you were in the EPA, did you feel that there was much corporate pressure on the government?
Yes, there was, all the way to the presidency. Absolutely.
And how severe was that?
Pretty bad.
Are you able to tell us anything?
Well, all I can tell you is that in the job that I had, many a times it would happen that, okay, we're going to have to kind of reword this regulation, because usually some congressman or some senator is putting pressure on the administrator. An administrator is the one that's in charge of the Environmental Protection Agency. You know, different departments have different names. So there was tremendous pressure brought down on the administrator through usually the senators and the congressmen, and sometimes from the president's office. And, of course, you know what's back of it is the lobbyists that actually work for these huge companies.
So it's not the lobbyists for the communities that are worried they're getting poisoned. It's the lobbyists for the companies that are having the environmental impact?
I think a lot of times the lobbyists, unfortunately, they're well-paid and they're highly educated, but, you know, their heart is not right. All they're in is for the money. So many times the lobbyists go to Congress, both the representatives and the Senate, and they put tremendous influence on these lawmakers. And consequently, the lawmakers, what they say or do affects when we try to interpret, because Congress writes the laws. We, the people as far as regulating, for example, toxic chemicals, we have to interpret those laws. And, of course, those laws a lot of time are written because of tremendous, or change in them, because of tremendous pressure from these lobbyists who represent these huge corporations. It hasn't changed.
So, if you had to live 25 feet from what's the label, what's on the label, would you feel comfortable with that, with these restricted use pesticides?
25 feet is not enough.
It's 500. Would you live 500 feet away from it?
I would say probably. I would say at least a quarter of a mile from my background.
Would you live downstream?
I'm sorry?
Would you swim downstream?
No.
Would you surf right outside the...
No.
Really? Okay, you're saying that with a lot of strength there. Okay, well, so what my takeaway from that is that... you're validating a little bit of the concern. I want to say to the listener, if there is somebody from these companies that feel very comfortable with it, please call in 826-7771. In fact, anyone can call in 826-7771. And if you would like a toll-free number, it's 866-275-1112. So, okay, yes?
Well, I'm just having a thought, and with
Taki-san's?
Yes, with Taki-san's vast experience on the inside for so many years, I wonder if you could help us to find an Achilles heel for these corporate entities, of which there are many, that are totally disrupting Kauai Island's health and vitality. Is there an Achilles heel where the people could see to it that these elected officials actually do their job?
From my experience living on the mainland and just being an older person, I would say the strength comes from basically the community. Everything the community does, and this is where the strength is. It's not from the federal government rules, it is not from the state legislator, and sometimes it's not even from the county government or the council. The strength has to come from us. That means all of us, you and I included.
So how do we do that? Because there certainly is a whole host of people trying to do it. I've got lists in front of me of events and efforts that are going on, so at some point I'm going to tell people where to show up or when to show up if they want to be involved. But what does that mean coming from the people? Because we have had a really, really active people's movement, and it has almost felt like in this last election where it was just a little bit of a loss, but there has been a backlash of suppressing citizen activism now. You know, I mean, we're really worried about what is coming down towards that. Or I don't even want to give life to that way. I'm giving a negative affirmation. We are excited to find ways to overcome that.
Yes, and it is done.
And it is
and
done.
And breathe.
And breathe. So, Taki-san, what do you mean by that?
In fact, you asked me a wonderful question, okay. But maybe I have to digress because I'm involved in communities right now. And what we're doing is really, a lot of times, it's the heart and soul of a community. Here's what my compassionate group has done. You know, in public high schools, and this is the most experience I have because, like I said, I've been out of the islands for 51 years, but I've jumped right into this particular movement because it's so important. And what it has to do is every public high school has kids at risk. These kids, basically, because of the intergenerational dysfunctional families, and unfortunately, we have them everywhere. It's not just Kauai Island, it's not Honolulu. Every state, every county has this problem. So the way we have addressed it as a community group, without funding at this point, mind you, we have actually taken in, like my former friend who lives in Windward Oahu, has actually on his own, has taken in and saved at least four families that I know that basically has fallen through the crack. The health department, the judicial system, everybody else has given up. So these people, these families that he's helped on his own, if he didn't do this, these people are the very ones who will be homeless and worse, drug pushers and all that. So anyway, so through this community effort that I see, my group, or not my group, but the people I connected with, are doing this on their own at this point. We're looking for public funding, and Ms. Taylor, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So she said, you know, funding. That's right. Sometimes it's hard to do, but the community has to take it upon themselves to do it.
Yes.
So it actually, let me put it this way. It doesn't take an army to start it. You can have a handful of people, which is what my friends are doing. So this farmer friend of mine, he has, mind you, he has 10 kids, but he has a farm. And what he actually does is, you know, sometimes, or many times, before you can write a person's whatever social ills, the person has to be fed.
Exactly.
So we're coming, that's the direction we're coming. We're actually putting food on their plates. And you'd be amazed as to what happens to the result.
And thank you for doing that. Thank you so much for doing that, Taki-san. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei K-A-Q-A Kilauea. I mean, K-A-Q-A, yeah, Kilauea. And this is Kauai Soapbox. One event that's like that, this Saturday on the 13th, the Aina in the Schools program from Malama Kauai and Kokua Hawaii Foundation, they are teaching at Kanui Kapono Teachers. It's a workshop for teachers, parents, homeschoolers, adults who want to know how. There is a slight charge for it. You could look at malamakauai.org to see what that is. But there is lessons for how to be doing a school garden, and it comes with the curriculum and everything to be including it in for grades K through 6. So there's a lot of different information. That's like a small example of what you're speaking to. We're going to take another caller, and then I want to come back to talking about the difference between helping individually and then having legislation and government help for these very big organizations that kind of seem like maybe it creates an uneven playing field. Aloha, you're on the air, KKCR.
Hi, Felicia. It's Aurelius.
Hey, Aurelius. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm living in paradise and loving it and loving hearing the discussion you guys have.
Yay. So what's on your mind?
Well, I thought I'd contribute because you had a question earlier to the audience, what can we do with these giant corporations just doing whatever they want to do? And one thing that a lot of people don't realize is the power of the county ordinance and the fact that these companies come from federal levels down with their corporate agendas. But one of the ways that the Keystone XL project has been held up so much is people are saying, not in my backyard. And what that means is you can say on the national level, oh, this project is fine. But when it comes down to our county, we actually still have power against the Fed to say, we don't care what you say, but this is not going to happen in my backyard. And Kauai is unique, you know, that it's a county and also an island. And that's why they come after us, because, you know, we don't have neighboring counties to bother with. They feel like they can just spray their runoff chemicals everywhere, and there's no neighboring county to worry about. But as a county, we can say, you know what, federal government, you can do whatever you want, but not in my backyard. And this is still a very powerful tool that the people have.
So, speaking of that tool, like, are you coming to the county council meeting tomorrow?
Are you inviting me? Yes, I'll be there.
Well, I mean, I happen to be going, and I'm looking at a few issues that are of concern to me. I think for myself, it's important to stay physically present. I understand and can respect some of the motivation for curtailing the breadth of the rules that had the last council chair, Jay Fofaro, had pretty welcoming rules for citizen participation in the council. And on day one of this council, we had a new majority of four that narrowed that down substantially. So it is a little bit more difficult to get something on the agenda now. It will all go through the council chair. I like him, but it needs to, it's not really a voice of seven being able to bring that forward now. It is at the discernment of one. We had our two councils ago, Kaipua Singh had a similar philosophy. And so we have a lot more limited time for public testimony. Tomorrow they will be affirming the veto of the mayor on this agribusiness bill. It might have been, I mean, I know some people didn't feel like it was worded very well, but it was a citizen effort to have the industry pay a level of taxation that is a little bit similar to what individual farmers pay. Like, small farmers typically pay substantially more for 10 acres than a large farm pays, because they don't get the same benefits. They might have a mistake here or there, you know.
Oh, so big ag is going to start paying their taxes?
Well,
they already passed here.
It did, but it's getting the mayor vetoed it, and then the council tomorrow will make the decision to not revisit that, to override the veto. At least that's what's on the agenda, that it's not going to be considered for that. And then we have another individual that is up for the Charter Review Commission. And so the charter is really speaks directly to what you're talking about. Our charter allows citizens to put initiatives on the ballot. And so the Charter Review Commission looks at how we rewrite our charter. So,
well, that's very important.
Well,
obviously,
and so an individual is being placed on the ballot. I mean, not on the ballot, placed before the council tomorrow. Typically, whenever I see people come up for being on one of the commissions, it's very quick. It's just basically an affirmation. And I don't really want to say his name without having him on the air and in the studio, but I know that I'm concerned because it's a person who is very, very active at suppressing the voice and siding with the industry on this very issue, kind of a very, very active voice from that. And he has moved here, I don't know, in the last two or three years, so very new to the island, and that is a big responsibility. I think that in the charter review, there are many people who have even a lifetime here. You don't need to have a lifetime to fully understand what's going on. But
exactly.
It is good to either be balanced in it, not seen as representing one extreme or the other. And then, you know, so I'm a little concerned with that. It's probably very likely that that individual will be passed. And that's sad, because that's another door slamming on there. So when we don't have citizen participation, where there's much opportunity for public voice. It also got constrained for less time for the council members themselves to be able to speak about it. So I think being present, for me, I know that I will continue to be present, because I think that when there's an empty room, you know, I appreciate everybody who watches on TV, by the way. It is on Hoike. But it is, it's still, you can't see it when you're sitting in there.
You need to be there.
You need to be there. So I am going to be there.
All right, Felicia. What time? I'll be there with you.
Well, I'm going to be there at 8:30 tomorrow.
All right. Well, that's the theme of my call, is that we have to take community-level action. It's the only thing that can and will exercise the intention of the people, is when we show up, because, you know, these things, as we all know, on a federal level, are all decided in secret rooms, but the only power that we have left is to show up on the community level and make our needs heard. So I, for one, will be there, and I encourage anyone else listening who is concerned with protecting our Aina, you know, that's the Lahui building. This is where we make our decisions, and I will be there, Felicia.
Okay.
If I could comment on the Charter Commission, back in 2005 and 2006, we spent extensive time. We were trying to amend the word Pono into our county charter. Yes, that is true.
Pono.
We certainly did.
So let people know what Pono means?
Well, Pono is, in my opinion, to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And we know that there are best practices in management, simple to run things in an organized, simplistic way, and your triple bottom line thrives, and your county vitality and morality is very high. Now, this is achievable. However, if we have some new entities going in to shake things up a little bit regarding the Charter Commission, the Charter, which is the county Bible, guaranteed the first section they're going to go into is safety, emergency safety, health, and vitality. They're going to try to turn those words around, which they just tried to do this year in the Honolulu legislation. So be very, very careful. So I know we have many, many awake friends out there in the community who are astute in Akamai and reading between the lines in these various, the documents of the county charter,
right,
any changes they want to make. We really need those people to take their vitamins so that they can, you know, be really aware and advise the rest of us. Facebook is a dynamite way to share knowledge. And
well
then, and then the people, we keep our energy up and keep moving forward in a positive way for the good of all concerned.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, you guys. Great show. We're all going to do this together. Love you guys.
Okay. Love you too. Bye-bye. Yeah, so you're bringing up really important issues, and I know that it takes a lot of intention to be aware of all these different political phrases and clauses and what it means. And we had the big thing between shall versus may, how we sit there and are able to break these pieces apart. And it is exhausting. Most of the people who are pushing for an agenda are paid for it, you know. So I've been following this bright line in what we call the Shoreline Protection Bill, the Shoreline Setback Bill, and so now it's been downgraded to be essentially a hazard mitigation document. So it's saying, okay, if the ocean won't wreck it, well, then you don't have to set it back as much. They did push it back another 20 feet, but they removed a lot of what were the protections on anything above a rocky shoreline. And so what's very difficult and was really clear in the meetings is that the county doesn't even know. It's not even mapped out which parcels qualify, which parcels don't qualify. There was a lot of discussion of what that meant, but it's not like a line that's already drawn. And so when you have these gray areas, you know, people with wealth can make choices to be putting their house more forward. I don't know why they want to do that, because it's like living on a boat. You know, I think it actually possibly lowers the land value, you could argue that, you know. I mean, when you can build right on the cliff, sometimes that's what people want to do. But the setback was there for, you know, the view plane. So that's been undermined. But what does happen is that it creates then more citizen initiative requirements to go in and sit there and fight something they're concerned about, whether it's for a bird or what it looks like or for a heiau or whatever it might be. It's all that much more energy to go in and sit there and argue the case. It takes county planning a lot of time, the planning commission. It raises expenses when we put these loopholes in there that are going to, I would think, mostly benefit the wealthy. Though there are people who have small lots that might be along there that can be impacted, the majority, and Lisa, in going to these meetings, looking at who was fighting it or who was pushing for having this bright line of what is excluded from the shoreline setback, you know, those were all developers and people who worked for them. So I saw that. A couple other meetings that are happening, just to push that in there right now real quick. Tonight, Tuesday, Hanalei School, at Hanalei School. I understand this is from what I saw on Facebook. It is not necessarily seeing it from the Department of Transportation, that they're going to have a meeting on the Wainiha double bridges. So wanting to hear what people have to say. I will say that the government does come out and ask. The Land Use Commission tomorrow night, Wednesday, 6 p.m. in the county building, like where they have the Planning Commission meetings, right near the Department of Motor Vehicles. They're going to have a Land Use Commission meeting 6 o'clock. That's very, very rare. That's state. It's an excellent place to go in and express your concerns about how the water's being used, how the agriculture is being used. That's a big piece.
This is the one where the state of Hawaii comes to the counties every few years.
It's supposed to be every 5 years, but I can't remember it happening, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't mean it hasn't, but I try and look really carefully for that.
Careful awareness of water issues is huge.
Yeah, and that's the surface water is a very big part of who gets to develop what land, who mm-hmm. gets to farm what land, mm-hmm. can we use kalo. I know on the Puna Moku, the big area right there around Lihue, Kaloa, there's been a lot of water diversions for 100 years or more, mm-hmm. and it really has a lot of impact on what goes to the golf course, what goes to the hotel. And I'm not slamming the golf course or the hotel when I'm saying that, you know, but people need to be a part of that discussion of where it's going to be happening. Also, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Anahola, the Kauai Farmers Union, they have a nice meeting there, and it starts with a potluck, locally grown food. So
now, that was a grassroots operation that they went forward, didn't they, as farmers on Kauai and established this union?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the Hawaii Farmers Union, which is part of the United States or American Farmers Union, is actually older than the Farm Bureau. But it is mostly small-scale family farms. It's regenerative farming. It doesn't have to be, but it happens to be what it is. So we're at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock, and you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Bali High Realty, The Copper Man. We're going to hear from Judy Collins.
Lazar Bear Productions presents An Evening with Judy Collins, Thursday, January 22nd at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Singer-songwriter and folk music icon Judy Collins performing on Kauai for one night only, January 22nd at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Information, tickets, and Golden Circle at 808-896-4845 or at lazarbear.com, LAZARBEAR.com.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty in Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at BaliHigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
Kauai Kiss, Kauai Island's shopping service. Kauai's new premier personal shopper and grocery delivery service. When you leave the shopping to Kauai Kiss, your vacation rental will be pre-stocked with groceries. Your Kauai Kiss personal shopper will also gladly make town runs for locals, delivering island-wide with aloha. More information at 822-KISS or at kauaikiss.com.
Dove presents the 14th Annual Kauai Homegrown Music Festival. Saturday and Sunday, December 13th and 14th, Church of the Pacific Outdoor Amphitheater. David and Zoe of Beats Antique, Mike Love Band, Root Hub, Chris Berry, and 20 more acts. All ages, tickets at dovepresents.com or 808-635-5556. 14th Annual Kauai Homegrown Music Festival. Saturday and Sunday, December 13th and 14th, Church of the Pacific Outdoor Amphitheater.
During this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And we've had a number of people actually call in. We, so far, people have given us $1,675 towards our broken air conditioner. I actually like it hot, so I'm not miserable in here. We need to get $15,000 for an air conditioner to keep our equipment safe. So Kauai Community Radio is community funded, and it's another example of what people can do, and we are so lucky to have this. Most communities across the United States no longer have a resource like this, and I believe we are the only one in Hawaii.
And how does that continue? Something is making the others go away. Why is this, thank goodness, still so strong?
Well, there's a lot of pressure, actually, for them to not continue. There's a number of different reasons. But one of the things that does keep this one working is about a third of our costs, I believe, is from the federal government, because we have an emergency broadcast system here. And so this station was started because after the hurricane, Aniki, there was no support up here for almost 6 months. So the piece that allows this to be here is that need. So we are thankful that we have it, and we're thankful to our supporters. I'm sitting here looking through my list of all these amazing things going on tomorrow. Also, 6 o'clock, lots of things happening tomorrow, 6 o'clock. The Christmas Choir, Island School Choir, is singing at the Performing Arts Center. It's always amazingly good. We just heard about the Homegrown Festival. That's happening Saturday and Sunday. Lots of music that really supports a lot of bands that are here. We have the Christmas lights and what goes on there with Santa and Mrs. Claus at the council building Friday, Saturday, and Sunday each weekend prior to Christmas. And
absolutely charming and delightful.
Have you been to that?
Absolutely.
I used to take my kids all the time.
Yes, uh-huh.
I'm actually Mrs. Claus this Friday.
Okay.
And on Christmas Eve. So
we won't tell.
We won't tell. Oh, yeah. Hey. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, gosh.
But nobody heard that.
Nobody heard that. This is kind of fun. I've never done that before. All right, we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Thank you, Felicia. First, want to welcome you back on the air. It's wonderful to have your wonderful voice and thoughtfulness back on KKCR.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You know, I'm one of the staff members at the radio station. This is Eric.
Hey, Eric.
I just wanted to add one more piece to what you were saying about why KKCR is able to sustain.
Oh, please.
Where so many other community radio stations are not. And you're absolutely right that we do get about a third of our funding from the federal government, although that has been
eclipse somewhat, and so we have to make up that difference to some degree also, because as everyone knows, federal funding for a lot of things, especially public media, is severely at risk and being challenged at many points. But the point of this really is that KKCR is fortunate to live in a community that cares about independent media and about their community radio station and are willing to support it with their hard-earned dollars as well as their mana'o. And I think the real strength of our community radio station is our community, and that's why we're able to continue doing what we do.
Absolutely. But can you answer the question she asked me? And I don't really know the answer. I know there are less and less non-commercial radio stations, less and less stations that really have this free format of people. There's how many volunteers are there? There's probably like 80-some-odd volunteers?
80-something, yeah.
80-something volunteers. Why is it that this is atrophying across the United States?
Because the corporatization of America, of American media, the commercialization of media and entertainment has made it very difficult financially for most small independent community radio stations to compete against those monolithic organizations.
Can I take this moment to also acknowledge the underwriters? I would say that even though that sounds a little bit like, you know, bringing in business awareness on the station, but our underwriters are actually a pretty good chunk of what keeps this going, too.
Well,
is that correct?
That's the thing. We have, I think it's true to say, you know, I don't think corporation is a bad word in itself, but we're talking about, you know, small businesses are, I believe, every single underwriter on KKCR is what I would call a small business.
There's a few good-sized ones, but mostly, yes.
Yeah, we have a few bigger businesses, but they're still island businesses. We don't have corporations. We don't have international or large monolithic corporations.
I will give a shout-out to Kauai Coffee, who does continue to support us even when some of our discussion isn't to their benefit, yet they still back us.
Absolutely. And, you know, all of these people, we have close to somewhere over 40 small businesses that support KKCR now with what are largely small monthly contributions. And we figured out a way so that they can keep doing this and supporting us, and we can still let the community know who is supporting KKCR. And, you know, that's why having that many small local business people willing to put their money where their mouth is and support KKCR instead of just going to the other large commercial radio stations is exactly why I'm able to talk to you on a free radio station and have this conversation right now.
Yes. And thank you for all that you do. You're a very big help at this station. Some people put a lot out, and you're one of them. So
I appreciate it. I feel very privileged to be able to do what I do, to be able to keep KKCR on the air, and knowing that it's appreciated by other people by having shows like yours be so well thought of and so well responded to is what makes it all go around. So thank you too, Felicia.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a good show.
Aloha.
And just to add to that comment, KKCR provides great knowledge to the community and helps to support our community to grow and to strengthen. So likewise, we must support one another and be grateful that we have opportunity to share our truths and support each other on this island to move our various needs forward for Kauai's vitality.
And if people would like to either donate, you could go to kkcr.org, or if you would like to become a volunteer here, they can do the same. If somebody has an issue they would like to be discussing on this particular show, my number is 652-4363, and
FeliciaCowden.com, or, you know, there's a lot of ways to find me. I'm on Facebook. So is Kauai Soapbox, so, and KKCR. So we really work hard to invite different voices from around the community, and certainly the industries or the elements that don't feel like they get a equal representation, I'm always actually reaching out to them, and I'm doing it right now on the air. Please call me and come in. I actually love having people come in and really discuss it, and we're able to do it in a way where they feel supported, and typically there is a better layer of understanding. Sometimes when the community is concerned about things, they're concerned about beyond what they really need to be concerned about. So it's better to narrow it down to just only those things that maybe people have some contention with. Ah, and speaking on that one, there is a meeting on Thursday in Kaloa Neighborhood Center at 6 p.m. Friends of Maha'ulipu will be in there and be discussing the dairy, and just full disclosure, they aren't that comfortable with the dairy. I see that the representative from the dairy did make a statement in the paper that they will not be there. I wish that they would. I do know for myself, I prefer going to an event when I'm seeing both right together. And I know when I put shows on, I like to have both together, because then we get the best balance. And just so the listener knows, too, a number of the people who might not be in agreement with some of the viewpoints that are expressed in here, they are lovingly invited and will be coming in soon. Like, I think Mel Raposa, the new council chair, I believe him when he is very happy to come in. Him and I actually get along well. So I will say I'm disappointed in a few things right now, but I'd like to have him in here speaking. I'm looking at something that I forgot to put out last week, and it works just fine because, Takasan, you're in here. With there are little tests that people can do on their own land if they are worried about the pesticide issues. We were looking at the county and the state are going to be working together in this next year and doing some testing. And I'm stoked with that, and I actually trust that they are going to do a good job. But many people have trust issues. And so, as I had mentioned last week, but then I forgot to give this Pacific Ag Laboratory information out, I guess I'm not supposed to be able to say the cost of what a background test for 250 ag chemicals are for the contamination, but it is not that high. I would say for the average person, it works out to maybe 1 or 2 days worth of work. For somebody maybe who works in the service industry, if you wait tables and you're lucky, maybe it's one night's tips in the summertime. Sure.
You really hit it on the nail here. This is the kind of thing that the community must get involved, because it affects the livelihood of not only crops but the environment, correct?
Yes.
So if this state or federal entity is going to provide and come and work on this test, it behooves the community to show up.
Yes. Well,
very important. Yes.
They're going to be out and doing testing, and I know that I'm working with a group that is doing a bioremediation grant through the Office of Economic Development. That's the mayor's office, county, and meeting tomorrow even a little bit on that. And they, in full good faith, are trusting us to be working on getting these tests done, but it is being worked with an environmental company that does environmental tests all over. I mean, at some point you have to trust something. So Pacific Ag Labs, people can call me. I can give that number out. Ray Maki from the Kauai Farmers Union, like going tomorrow night to the Kauai Farmers Union meeting, that would be a good place to be able to find that out. And CTAR, the University of Hawaii College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources, Roy in there, he's really a pretty good guy. Get good information out of them. CTAR does a lot of good things. So we have a caller on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, once when I was a young man, I was poisoned by insecticides. I walked bare feet on all this spray for a number of weeks, and I couldn't get the burning taste of insecticide off my lips for about 2 years. Right?
From your feet to your mouth?
It went into my body through the soles of my bare feet. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm super sensitive to insecticides and pesticides. And in the neighborhood where I live, I've noticed this also down at Hanalei. You know, every now and then, aside from, you know, if you go up to Crater Hill, you know, on any given day, you'll smell the waffling smell of pesticides in the air coming up from all over the countryside, right? But when I walk down the street where I live in Kilauea, there's just one house that I walk by, and sometimes I just go, God, I have to hold my breath. I can't wait till I pass this one house, because the smell of pesticides is so strong from this one house. And I know the neighbors that live across the street, they have three young children. And I know they must smell it. And I just assume that they're gardeners. I mean, you look at this yard. You know, there's not a weed inside. It's this total, like, sanitized yard. You know, and every now and then I see the gardeners working there, you know, and I almost feel like asking them, do you use the insecticides and pesticides on this property according to the rules of the label? Because it stands out. I mean, I can walk through all the entire neighborhood of Kilauea, and in this one house, it's just so strong sometimes where I just can't believe. It's dangerous to me, myself, let alone I'm thinking, and it's perplexing to me because the neighbors that live across from this house, they love where they live. I'm not sure how sensitive they are or aware of this neighbor that lives right across the street. I mean, I don't want to say anything to this family because I don't want to cause waves. I don't want to disrupt their home and make them feel there's some kind of danger across the street.
And caller, you're bringing up a really important question. I'm going to kind of wrap it up quick because I have somebody holding this whole time. But I live on your same street, and so
it's a different street.
Did you move?
It's a different street.
Okay.
You live in the same neighborhood.
Okay,
you don't know the house that I'm referring to.
Well, I was going to say right along that whole bike path, there's been, you know, a good half mile of heavy poisoning that was really obvious this week.
Well,
so
this is a different place. You're not aware of this is a place that I've talked to. But
okay.
you can see how awkward it is for me because I was thinking about it intensely the other night where I was torn because I wanted to talk to the parents, and I wanted to tell them to go, hey, maybe you should go to your neighbors and politely ask them, do your gardeners...
Yeah. Caller, I was going to bring it back to that. The key point that you're making is the difficulty of being neighbors with each other, and they're not meaning to hurt you, you're not meaning to bum their trip.
Yeah.
It's just... It's like, wow, and the other piece that I think that you're bringing up that is a very, very important piece that many people within the industry bring up is they say, hey, everybody's pointing their fingers at us, and we are taking great pains to have training and gear and blah, 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 when you can go down any neighborhood and nobody's giving their neighbors a hard time. Or maybe they are, but, not seemingly there's no containment over neighborhood policies and these chemicals will work.
That's true, and they're dangerous, you know. But the sad thing about it is the trade-off for possibly creating lifelong physical diseases and ailments for your neighbor's children just because you can have some, like, sanitized, buffed-out yard that really isn't any better looking than any other yard that might have some weeds.
Right,
in
caller.
It, you know?
Thank you so much. I have another caller holding for a long time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oops. Okay, it looks like I lost him. All right, they gave up. Call other caller, please call back. All right, so do either one of you have a comment on that? Oh, it looks like my caller is back. So we'll just go ahead and take that. All right. So what were you going to say?
Sing a song.
Do you have a response?
Well, there are so many multiple aspects of this problem that does cause physical ailment. We know that we see generations of toxicity in our health issues. You know, there's over 200 new diseases that are possibly contributed by the toxicity. And, you know, in each of our families, we have loved ones who are suffering due to toxicities acquired throughout the years. So the scientist has proved it, and here's your next caller.
You're on the air. Aloha. Are they there? Aloha, you're on the air.
I'm sorry. I'm calling because a mule walked onto my property in Kalua, and so if anybody has lost their
mule.
Yeah, mule, M-U-L-E. And apparently it's blind or something like this. And so in Kalua, and if they would like to contact me,
do you want to give
number,
you, okay, your number?
Yeah, 651-7556.
651-7556. And what color is the mule?
Dark brown.
Dark brown mule. And what street are you on?
Willy Willy Road.
Willy Willy Road. Okay. All right. Dark brown mule. Willy Willy Road. 651.
What was your discussion about? I'm sorry.
We were talking about right in that moment was the stress between neighbors when they're using things like Roundup or pesticides and maybe using it too much or potentially poisoning their neighbors and what it is to be speaking amongst them. That was what the last caller had spoken on.
I see. Okay, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lost mule. Taki-san.
Yes.
How do you feel about glyphosate and household chemicals?
You know, pesticides, people forget the terminology. Pesticides means it controls, it kills. That's what it means, right?
Right. Control, anything with CIDE.
That means it's toxic. There's no. If you look at the plain word, there's no way around it. So it's toxic. So if the thing is approved, you have to really watch how you use it. And unfortunately, lots of people do this. If so much ounce per square feet is fine, well, we're going to make it more efficient, double the amount. No. Should minimize it, and you should minimize the use. And only when absolutely necessary. Like if you're going to control mosquitoes that carry disease, like dengue fever, as an example, you know, or yellow fever, you have to control the mosquito, right? Or say certain kind of bugs that have different kinds of illnesses, tropical illnesses, then you, in some cases, you have to use some pesticides.
Right, and there are
other alternative ways.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think one has to be very careful how you use it. Because, again, that means to control means to kill. Highly toxic.
Thank you. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just read Doug Fine's book called Hemp Bound.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of you guys read it yet?
I haven't read it yet, but it was called in last week also that it was a very good book. What is the high points for you?
Well, for me, it's this stuff called hempcrete, where you just grind up the stalk and you mix it with lime, and as the lime dries in your house, it sucks CO2 out of the air, so it literally cleans your home of CO2. As it dries, it can last 100 years, and the test studies that they've been doing in Honolulu show that termites won't eat it, and it's mold resistant.
Yeah.
So, you know, to help save the trees. So, you know, these activists in Peru are getting murdered, and, you know, and we could just make hemp bricks and quit cutting trees for paper, and you understand, it's the way to save the planet.
And a fiber plant that we're looking at right now under real consideration on Kauai, at least to be tested, is something called Kanaf, which is the industrial end of industrial hemp. It is legal in all 50 states and goes to seed here. So we are working on seeing if that can be a viable crop here that would have vertical industry, maybe eventually being building products and things. The lime is an important element that's not here naturally, but you know, maybe that could be brought in, and you know, it puts out a lot of oxygen. You know, there's a lot of different values for that. So I really appreciate that, and we would like to do a good show on that. I'd like to be bringing in what's called a you know, the collaborative, cooperative type of structure for doing different businesses together.
Yeah, or maybe contact Doug Fine.
Doug Fine. Okay, let me write his name down again. Contact
yeah,
Doug Fine.
Hemp Sound with Doug Fine.
Yeah, maybe he'll come over. I had the people who put the movie called Bringing It Home, another great film on the potential of hemp. Have you seen that one?
No, I'll write that down.
Yeah, it's called Bringing It Home. And we showed it here in a few places, and it looks very, very promising. But that kind of hemp that's in that has yet to be legalized.
Except for in Colorado, and they're having a lot of financial success.
Yeah, well, they're having a lot of financial success with marijuana in Colorado as well.
Right, and it's the future of hemp is to be even greater than that
yeah.
of the marijuana, the potential of
yeah.
all of the uses. So.
The Kanaf, they're just really nowhere on the spectrum. Is there any thing that is, you know, the medicinal part that would get you high isn't in Kanaf. The oil, the Kanaf seed oil actually is touted to be good for cancer, as is regular hemp seed, and I guess that's being said about marijuana too. Is
yeah,
good for certain cancers.
Well, the hemp, yeah, marijuana definitely cures cancer, but the hemp seed, it is a complete protein, so it can help feed starving people in Africa.
Mm-hmm. There's
and you can feed it to your chickens and get really high omega-3 eggs.
Yes, and anybody who's lived here for very long knows that this is a type of crop that grows and thrives very easily on Kauai. So
I'm excited about that particular crop beyond hemp, because it's legal in 50 states, so that if we wanted to begin to implement that program here on Kauai, you could just hit the path and go for it practically.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the seeds, because mm-hmm. The seeds don't, if the plant doesn't go to seed in the higher latitudes like mm-hmm. in the United States or mm-hmm. China and elements
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely say we need to move forward on projects like that.
So
yeah, it's a great start.
Especially
it's a very
since it's
inspiring book.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I will look for it. And you look for Bringing It Home.
All right, thanks, Felicia.
All right, thank you.
Aloha.
Felicia?
Yes?
And I'm sorry, your first name again?
Janae.
Yes, Janae.
Right. Janae.
Yes.
All right. Okay. You know, this whole thing about Hawaii really sometimes floors me. I've been gone 51 years. And, you know, the thing about these islands is we're the only state where we can grow things 12 months of the year. Please.
Maybe
you know?
Florida. Maybe Florida.
No, not even Florida.
Really, Tony?
No.
I think what he's saying is that we have huge economic opportunity
yes.
and diversity
yes.
if all of the efforts were put in the right direction.
Right. And again, I'm talking about community focus. That's where it starts.
Yes. So you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. We have Taki-san, Toma in here, and Janae Marie Taylor. So why don't both of you, I'll start with you, Taki-san. Tell me what you see that would bring a bright outlook politically, you know, like with influencing our governance here as well as the people.
Again, I'm going to talk a little bit about my friends, compassionate friends, and the area that I'm working on right now. I'm not talented at this, but by osmosis and working with these compassionate people. I'm working with three groups in Windward, Oahu. It's basically we're working with people at risk. One is I told you a little bit about my former friend that actually rescues these families that basically have fallen through the crack in society. Nobody cares about them. They're beyond the homeless. But he's brought them back, at least four families I know. The other thing that I'm working on is at Castle High School in Kaneohe, we're saving these kids that don't want to go to school. And these same kind of kids are at every public high school in Hawaii. So we're a prototype. It's a second year. What we're taking is we're taking these students out of the classroom, actually taking them out into the field. And the great thing about Kaneohe is that we have a community-based sponsorship. So it starts with the district superintendent, who's Mrs. Alberts, incredibly caring, highly intelligent, really a person, a leader with so much pono, and the educators at Castle High School, and those of us in the community. So we're taking these students, and we actually put them to work outside the classroom. In other words, we're giving them a different point of view. And this, all these students basically are students at risk, meaning that they come from basically dysfunctional families, that without the community helping them, these kids would all fall through the crack. And guess where they're going to end up in? In prison, mm-hmm. or worse. Mm-hmm. So we're taking these kids, and last year we got 18 seniors to graduate. Four of them are going to community colleges. These are the kids that were basically going to drop out. So the way we accomplished this, we've been talking to community leaders, business people, farmers, and we've taken their largesse, and we're taking these students to the site. For example, in Kaneohe Bay, we're restoring two fish ponds, mm-hmm. physically getting these students to actually do and actually get the fish ponds to operate. Mm-hmm. We also mm-hmm. got these students, who most of them have never seen a farm, we're actually getting them to plant weed and care of organic taro. And the feedback we get from the students is incredible. Most of them are finally finding themselves. And plus, of course, when they come to, especially my friend's farm, the one that's saved four families from basically falling through the crack, is that he actually, out of his own pocket, feeds these students on his own. We're waiting for grants, but as Ms. Taylor said, you know, grants takes forever.
It takes a lot of work and a lot of work and...
Yes.
A lot of work.
And lots of time. I'm sorry to say it's not successful. I've been in that route for 2 years. It's not very successful.
Well, you know, there's... Kauai Island has many programs that are operational, such as you speak of, and highly successful. And I think to continue to help to empower those already existing groups, hundreds of them, and the people moving them forward, the children, empowering the children, teaching, training, letting them know that they do have a voice, that they can make a difference, that they do have permission to help to make a difference. And continue to strengthen, as you say, the community, and let all the minds speak and create that continued collaborative effort. Kauai Foundation would be more than happy to help you look and find additional fiscal sponsoring for your projects or your group. That's what we're all about, is helping to promote good works for the health and vitality of Kauai Island. And so you can contact us, and we can see if we can collaborate. We have grant writers and ready to help any good works moving forward.
Mahalo.
Yeah, and you know, Waipa, great organization, they are getting an economic development grant that is working to help create and look for jobs that are culturally based. And so they're having two talk stories next week, both on Monday and Wednesday at 5:30. On Wednesday at 5:30, that event is going to be at Kilauea Elementary School. And on Monday, it will be in the big green building, the new building at Waipa Foundation down there on the far end of Hanalei. And that's another element, like you're talking about what you have going on in Oahu, and this is one that is here on this side of the island. If there's a good program happening on the other side, I know many, and I'm just throwing out a shout out right now to Malia Chun, because She very often is having those. I want to also acknowledge that the Veterans Center is having a Christmas party this Sunday at 11:30 for the different veterans, and I've become far more aware of the services that are available to them, and a lot of times just the fellowship together is what is so needed for people. We're having more and more people coming back from these wars, a lot of people with post-traumatic stress disorder. Anybody can have post-traumatic stress disorder. You don't have to be in a war to have that, but it's hard to be in a war and not have, some trauma coming home and then reintegrating into a system where everybody is, thinking about what might seem like superficial issues. So whether it's been a long time or a short period of time, we need to give our veterans lots of love. And so 11:30 Sunday at the Veterans Center in Lihue. Also, speaking of appreciating, because a lot of times it's really important to say thank you to people. The Veterans Center, they say thank you to our vets. But we have two thank you events happening this weekend. One is something that's kind of international. It's called the American Riviera Woman Entrepreneur of the Year Award, the Circle of Light Awards. That's happening at Common Ground. 11:30 to 2:30. The discussion is on soft power, so it is celebrating women, philanthropists, community leaders, and entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurs, business can make a very big positive difference. There's nothing wrong with earning money while you're doing something great. But so that will be somewhat of a collection of women in this community who are all making a difference. That's Saturday. And then on Sunday, there's a Porter Appreciation Party at, the old Kula School campus. The Porter family, Bill and Joan, have been such an excellent example of that well-off family that might come and live here in their retirement. And they have just done so many amazing things to help as many people as they can in this community. Their funds aren't limitless, but they've been doing, much, much, much. It's humbling to see how much kind work that they're doing. So that's Sunday, 12 o'clock, 12 to 5. And it's just like a gathering. We don't want to make them uncomfortable by everybody just saying thank you, thank you, thank you, but that is what it's about. We have another caller, KKCR. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. The question I have is, at tomorrow's meeting at the council, is there going to be a vote taken on overturning the mayor's veto of 960?
I think that they are not even going to take a vote on that. I think that they're going to just simply let that go. Let me pull up kauai.gov, mm-hmm. which is, and I will double check, but I believe that the choice is to, they have the capacity to have a vote to see if they want to override it or they can not do that. So I'm looking at kauai.gov, pulling up the agenda. Last I looked, it was not going to be heard. It was not going to have a vote.
But if it's going to be heard, say, for example, would somebody like Errol Kaneshiro have to recuse himself?
Well, I would.
Of interest?
I would certainly think so, since he works for Grove Farm, and Grove Farm is the company who is being impacted at this initial look at. Actually, they're being looked at back tax issue, but they would be impacted very much by this because. If it did go for a vote, I would have to think that he would have to recuse himself. Okay, this is what it says. Bill to lay on the table. This is item G. Pursuant to section 403A of the Kauai County County Charter,
yes.
The council must enter the objections of the mayor in the journal of the council and lay the veto on the table. That's in quotes. The council may, after 5 and within 30 days after the bill has been so returned, reconsider the vote upon the bill. This agenda item is only for the purpose of laying the veto on the table. The council will not, and that's in all capitals, will not be voting to override or sustain the mayor's veto at this meeting.
Any future council meeting to override or sustain the mayor's veto will be scheduled pursuant to Hawaii Revised Statute Chapter 92. So they are not going to they're not going to look at that.
Okay,
so this is
So Felicia, going back to the tax one, you know, that for example, that was introduced by past council person Tim Bynum, the mayor vetoed that, didn't he?
The mayor did veto that, yes. The council passed it, the last council passed it. The mayor vetoed it. This is a new council, and they have a different disposition towards this industry.
Okay. Will that be brought back to the council to take a vote to override the mayor's veto?
This, as I just read to you, they are not going to vote on
for
it.
That, for that one as well. Okay.
That is this same one. This is for bill number 2546, draft 3.
Okay, so like the first question I asked about 960, that's not going to come up, and the on the tax thing, it's not going to be dealt with tomorrow.
960 is not coming up tomorrow. You know what I'll do is I will play the county council report as soon as I get off this this call.
Okay. I just needed that for clarification for myself.
Yeah, so there are, I'm looking at this, there's a lot. We'll put that up. But that one, the mayor vetoed it, and this council is just going to not challenge that.
All right. Thank you very much, Felicia.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I am seeing that somebody asked, who is going off the County Charter Review Commission. So Julie Caspillo, her term is ending at the end here. So, and actually Don Colenda's term, hold on, wait a minute. No, wrong on that one, sorry. She's coming up to be interviewed for a different board. So, but all right, I'll play the county council meeting. I'm going to play the county council meeting, and then I'm going to... Well, I'll take one call, then we're going to do the county council report. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to bring up something that nobody's really probably aware of, and that is that our county purchased a bunch of lampposts. They're over by the airport. Beautiful, like, vintage-looking lampposts, really nice light fixtures. And they're taking them all out because they're the birds, they blind the birds. And now they're putting all these new ones in. And I know the guy that's got the contract to put the new ones in, and he's taking the old ones, I think. I don't know if it's part of a trade for work or what. They're very expensive, and nobody's really paying attention to it because they probably don't see it because it's at the airport. And anyway, it's a lot of money that was wasted. So
mistakes like that happen, and then I wonder, it sounds like they will have to be shipped off-island because it doesn't seem they could be repurposed here because they would have the same problem, right?
Right. Yeah, I don't think they could use them here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're beautiful. And, so anyway, I wondered if anybody knew further, you know, more information about that, or, you know, it just seems like a lot of money that isn't being talked about that was spent unnecessarily when they could have bought the correct product initially.
Right. Sounds like a mistake was made.
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, I just wanted to talk, you know, bring it up, and maybe somebody knows more about it.
Okay. Thank you. Maybe an Akamai listener will have information on that, and I can ask at the county.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. So, Jazz with John will be on next. This is Felicia from Kauai Soapbox. I have Takesan Toma from Oahu and Janae Marie Taylor on her, giving up her birthday here to be on the air with us. Let's listen to the county council report. We'll hear what's totally on the agenda.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of December 8th. On Wednesday, there will be a special meeting at 8:30 a.m. and a committee meeting at about 10:15 a.m. Here's some highlights from the agendas. In the special meeting, the council will interview Julie Caspillo for the Charter Review Commission and Donald Colenda for the Board of Review. For the committee meeting, the county auditor transmits a comprehensive annual financial report, single audit reports, and the management advisory report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2014. Council Chair Raposo requests the county auditor, director of finance, and representatives from N&K CPAs hold a discussion relating to the comprehensive annual financial report, single audit reports, and management advisory reports for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2014. The mayor submits his veto of Bill Number 2546, Draft 3. This is relating to real property taxes, and this is for a bill to lay on the table. Pursuant to the county charter, the council must enter the objections of the mayor in the journal of the council and lay the veto on the table. The council may, after 5 and within 30 days after the bill has been so returned, reconsider the vote upon the bill. This agenda item is only for the purpose of laying the veto on the table. The council will not be voting to override or sustain the mayor's veto at this meeting. Any future council meetings to override or sustain the mayor's veto will be scheduled pursuant to Hawaii Revised Statute, Chapter 92, and this is for real property tax, agronomics, agriculture use definition reporting, which the mayor vetoed on December 3, 2014. There will be a non-public executive session, and the purpose is for the county attorney to provide the council with briefings regarding Moses versus the Department of Personnel Services, County of Kauai, to obtain settlement authority and related matters. The Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Committee Chair Kagawa for the Director of Parks and Recreation to provide a briefing on repaving roads and parking lots located within county parks, including but not limited to discussion of the following: methodology used by the department to track the need for repaving, and any preventative maintenance plan for repaving, and if no plan exists, discussion of the time projection and cost for establishing a preventative maintenance plan. The Planning Committee has on their agenda Bill 2545 for an ordinance amending the county code relating to additional dwelling units on other than residentially zoned lots. Public hearing is scheduled for this on December 10, 2014. The Budget and Finance Committee has on their agenda Bill 2565 for an amendment to an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for this current fiscal year, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund, and this is for the real property tax assessment software at $100,000, and a public hearing is scheduled on this on December 10th. The public hearings will be convened before the committee meeting on December 10th. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
So we thank John Gordon, who is in here right now getting ready for his jazz show, for taking the time to be recording these every week. That's a really a great benefit. Thank you, John. And we can hear that the council, they've got a lot to work with. They're talking about the real property tax assessments. Very, very important for people to open what you have gotten this week. I should have brought mine in. There is a deadline of December 15th. For getting in, for basically arguing with what changes you might want. I know that I did see one person's, mine looked fine. One person's whom I was speaking with, his went from residential. We no longer have homestead as a classification, but it went from residential to commercial. So if you see a change that doesn't make sense to you, is very, very important that you engage that next week. The county is really struggling to make their payments. We also have the new garbage can. You can have I'm getting the 64-gallon one. It works out to $10 a month as opposed to $18 a month for the, I think it's a 96-gallon garbage can. But if you want the small can or if you want no can, you need to look at that. All these things sound pretty mundane, but it's really a struggle for the people who are working very hard to make it happen, pay for it. I'm in the old-style garbage can, so it'll be interesting to see what the new ones are like. So we have another caller on the air. Oh, okay. All right. So garbage cans, property tax, pay attention, figure it out. How's your garbage work? Do you have to pay garbage separate than your real property tax?
Yes.
We just had started that a few years back. What do you guys pay for garbage on Oahu?
Good question. Mine comes in a package. I believe it's different from the real estate tax. And actually, mine is kind of complex. It actually goes through the condominium. I belong to a condominium association.
Oh, okay.
So that's separate, yes.
Yeah. And
but the garbage is collected, and the recycle is once a week.
Okay, you get recycle pickup?
Yes, in that part of Kaneohe, once a week. Garbage, actually three things, the regular garbage, green recycling, and recyclable, like plastics and metals and things like that. So it is three different collections in 1 week.
Right on. Okay, we have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia, this is me.
Okay, can you speak more clearly into your phone?
I'm kind of driving into the meeting right now. Sorry, I forgot.
Okay, which meeting? Oh, is this Louise?
Yes.
Okay, so you are going to the meeting regarding the bridges. Who is putting the meeting on?
It's the state.
And so the Department of Transportation is there, and what are the choices that they're looking at for the Wainiha bridges that have been replaced from being wooden to metal?
I have no idea, Felicia. They're coming to tell us what we think, and we're going to let them know what we think, and then that's what it is. But I'm on the way. It starts at 6 to 8 at Honolulu.
Okay. Well, Auntie Louise, thanks for all the amazing things that you do, and thanks for representing down there at the bridge conversation.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
It's going to get cut off.
All right.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha. So, yeah, all those little elements are really very important. I know the Department of Transportation works really hard to work with this side of Kauai, and I went to one meeting, and they were smiling and trying to have a straight face, but they said, we know how much affection you folks have for your culverts, you know, feeling that the North Shore of Kauai is particularly attached to keeping the rural character of the roads, and so they've had to really bend over backwards to try and accommodate that to the point where Kuhio Highway stops being a state highway at the police station and is a county road from there on out, because that's what it takes to maintain our substandard traffic elements, like the one-lane bridges and the narrow roadways. But those become traffic calming factors, and if we had a really nice road, would be like Anahola. We love you, Anahola, but people go through there so fast, people will drive to the capacity of the road regardless of what they bring it down to, so then
Felicia,
the roads become about the cars.
Let me give you a whole different perspective.
Please
come to Oahu.
Yeah, so tell us
traffic, come to Oahu, the H1, it is a nightmare.
Well, I mean, like what, with your, yeah.
Well, I tell you, some people take, okay, so to go 25 miles, people usually take over an hour to get from home to work. And this is done twice a day, mind you. How many weeks you work per year? It's every day, hour and a half each way. And it's bumper to bumper. There's no, it's relentless.
So you're saying, lucky we live Kauai.
You bet.
Well, you know what, we've got, we got some traffic here. In fact, I went over to visit Janae, and even in the middle of the day, it was kind of really, it took like 20 minutes just to get through Puhi. So, and it was beyond the road repair. It was where the road repair comes to the old portion. So we get this stretch of a few miles of four lanes wide, and then it goes back to two lanes. And so really all the way through the four lane, they're still choked up over the four lanes. I have a final thought I want to close on with you both, because Take-san, you teach Tai Chi, correct?
Yes.
Retired
at this point. I'm actually going on a physical therapy because of age. I still ski, so I'm trying to patch my knees up so I can go to Colorado again.
And how old are you?
77.
77 and skiing, right on.
excellent.
But Tai Chi, there's a lot with breathing. I took Tai Chi before. It's kind of like a soft martial art.
It is a soft martial arts.
Yeah. Yes. So breathing is a heavy part of it, right?
And so Tai Chi, that doesn't sound Japanese. Where does Tai Chi come from?
Actually, Tai Chi is a derivative. The Asian martial arts, it basically was nurtured in the dynasties of China. And Tai Chi came along probably about 600 years ago. And the way it happened was these dynasties had all these different kinds of martial arts schools. And then about five families or more got it secret, developed from the martial arts a kind of a soft martial arts exercise, meaning they realized how important that you had to have your physical and mental self together to become one.
Exactly.
It's very hard to do.
Exactly. And Janae, you work with breath too, ha. Huh? And so there's something similar in it. Yours is just the breathing that you're including, is that correct? More than the exercise piece of it. But if you guys want to end with a quick thought about the importance of the breath.
Well, in Hawaii, the word aloha means to be with breath, or the breath of life. The five key words in the Hawaiian language, ohana, Hawaii, aloha, and there's another one in there. They all have the word ha, so the Hawaiians understood the power of the breath. And 40 years ago, I came to Kauai, and it changed my life. And because my body was sort of out of balance, my medical doctor advised that I begin breath work. And when he said breath work, I relaxed. I began to study one of 9,000 techniques in the world, and it's the art of oxygenation via rhythmic breathing. And Yogananda Maharishi acknowledged it in his book many years ago. So my advocacy is improving quality of breathing via this antidote to shallow breathing.
Wonderful. So we all can
improve the quality of your breathing, and life becomes better.
And we can all say aloha, and we are going to go out before Jazz with John that's in here with Love is Everywhere. And even Marshall, why don't you, who's been quiet this whole show, give a warm aloha and thank you for answering the phones.
Right, aloha. Really nice to be here. Thank you, Felicia. Thank you to our guests.
And thank you. Thank you, Felicia, and everyone for their hard work.
And thank you, the people of Kauai, for being so pono. I wish that I could take, well, I will. I'm going to take your goodwill and try to straighten out a bunch of people on Oahu.
And
they need your attitude, you know, the pono.
And we promise thank to you. Continue to maintain, support, and grow that very philosophy.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Aloha.
Aloha nui.
Whatever is coming through, let it go.
and that's Tubby Love, who will be playing at the Homegrown Festival.